Freak Treat, The Beverleys, Episode 2, The Beverleys Big Shot. I'm Adam, and you're in.
And I'm Steve, and I'm really trying to figure out what those engines are. You think that's a Honda?
Ooh, well, when I was looking for sound effects to steal, I looked up Harley motorcycle peel out. So I don't know if it's a Harley, but I wanted a big beefy hog, you know?
It's probably like a Harley with a Honda engine.
Oh, yeah. It's probably a Kawasaki or something like that.
Kawasaki Ninja.
What's the really fast one that people, it's like way too fast for legal roads? Hayabusa.
Ducati.
Hayabusa or a Ducati. We're real crotch rocket kings over here, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's really where we're going in life, for sure. When we hit our 40s or 50s, we're going to get a crotch rocket and ride.
Oh, man. Yeah. Have you ever ridden on a motorcycle? Have you ever been on a hog? Felt a hog between your legs?
I have felt a very powerful engine in between my legs, but I was a child, and I was also riding a child's bike.
And that engine you felt was your own two legs pumping away.
I had a motorcycle when I was a kid. It was, I ran into a tree. Whoa,
you crashed into a tree.
I surely did.
Wow.
I've never panicked since then, though.
Well, did your family tell you that you had to stop, and so you took them to the mountaintop, I guess?
Now we're going slow.
Right.
No, they told me to go faster next time. Lean into it.
Take that helmet off next time. Lean forward on the bike, head first, right into that tree.
It was the last moment of my life that I remember truly freezing. Like, I was a good, like, 6 to 10 feet away from the tree, and I just locked up and went right into it. I could have turned left or right, right into the tree.
Wow. Were you hurt? Are you okay?
Yes.
Nice. Good. How's that bone broth today?
Oh, the bone broth is so good. Can you believe that they do not mention bone broth during the theme song at all?
I have a lot of trouble believing that, but I mean, we can check their theme song to make sure if they mention bone broth in it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure, okay.
Let's siphon through that thing.
Yeah, just a heads up for the listeners, this is the actual theme song for the Beverleys. At a certain point in the theme song, you're going to think it's done, and then it's just gonna keep going. So here we go. We're not even halfway done this song.
Not even.
Making the wrap it up finger singing to each other.
Yeah.
Beverleys! Well,
you had some really nice dances throughout that theme song. You really gave it your all.
Thanks, man. Yeah, well, you know, I was really grooving just sitting in my chair here, and that's thanks to watching the Beverleys and learning some of the hottest dance moves from some of the best dancers I've ever seen. And I've seen all the Step Up movies.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of dancing movies together. We will not review it because dancing has to be pure.
Absolutely. And there's nothing godly about dancing, or especially men dancing, you know? Like, there's just absolutely nothing godly about that at all, so...
Especially clothed.
Yeah, we will never talk about clothed men dancing. I'll tell you that for sure.
Very true. We'll keep that promise till the day we die.
Oh, yeah. You don't even need to question it. You don't even need to ask any follow-up questions. We're being honest, speak the true.
I don't know if this kind of, like, went under my radar for the first episode, but it really stood out to me this episode. I believe that during production, this show was definitely called The Royal Beverleys.
Yeah, absolutely. They refer to themselves exclusively as the Royal Beverleys constantly throughout the show, and never as the Beverleys.
No. I feel like it's shoehorned in even to the theme song. Like, they say the Royal Beverleys, and whenever they say the Beverleys, it seems like a different audio.
Yeah. The Royal Beverleys.
Yeah, Tommy Blaze gets on the track.
The Beverleys! That's how he would say it. Tommy Blaze, I have a note written down here where I went, this can't have been a fun show for some of the people on it to make, because for Jamie and for Martin the butler, all Tommy Blaze does is scream in their faces, just scream orders at them. He's never not at a 10.
And a weird 10, not like a normal 10, like he should be at that 10, but like he should be at like somewhere between a 6 and a 10, and it's just 11 all day, baby.
11 all day, baby, yeah, for sure. It's,
Well, there's two groups of people in this show, for sure. Martin, he's just happy to be there. He loves this role. He gets to swim in the ocean of comedic glory. And the girls, they love being there. They're in showbiz. They're making a milli. Just loving dancing and singing. However, Jamie hates being there. Doesn't want to do this show. This is a real step down for her. She should have been the next Hannah Montana. Write it down.
Well, here's the thing. I think Jamie is about 25 years too old to be the next Hannah Montana.
You think?
Jamie? Yeah, I think Jamie...
Yeah, she's like 18.
No way. That girl's like 45, bruh.
Girl! That lady, 45.
Girl, you don't even know how old Jamie is.
Well, it's true. I don't know how old Jamie is, but if I were to guess, it's 31 for sure.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess. I do like that, like, they make her do everything sometimes. Like, there's, like, some of the show is, like, her taking video of herself talking about what's going on. I don't know what that's for, who is seeing that. Like, it's not as if it's shown in, like, an Instagram box or something. It's just, like, crappy phone footage of her, like, at a bad angle, being like, hey, now I'm the manager of the Beverleys.
Yeah, they're forcing the viewer through this, like, video blog that she's doing, and it really doesn't need to be there whatsoever.
No, well, I more proof that she's the main character and Tommy Blaze is not, and it's just heartbreaking.
Well, yeah, she's totally the main character throughout this. She brings everything together, especially Butler Martin. Also, she's lost in the glitz and the glamour of the girls and Tommy's yelling.
Oh yeah, I don't think her and Martin share a single scene this episode. I don't think the stories connect at all. Tommy Blaze is the through line throughout both stories, A and B plot.
I think that this is going to be the formula for at least 4 out of the 6 remaining episodes, where you have Martin and Tommy Blaze doing something dumb, and then Jamie and the girls trying to figure out a song, and then it all comes together at the end with a dance party.
I mean, you're probably right. What do you think the odds are that, like, there's an episode where Tommy Blaze and Martin go to, like, a spa together, and they're like, I can just picture them both wearing, like, white robes and getting, like, cucumbers on their eyes and getting, like, a manicure or something like that, but Tommy Blaze is too stressed out about it or something like that.
I think it's very highly plausible, but there's definitely going to be a role reversal where they have to, like, massage the masseuses at the spa or something.
The massage therapists, please. They didn't go to school to be called masseuses.
Well, they might have in the States.
True, they might not have gone to school at all.
They're loosey-goosey down there.
That's very true. So I have this note, like, pretty early on in my notes. These children are already divas. Send them back to the streets. They're already, like, being horrible to Jamie, and they've lived in that house for maybe a week? Maybe? But they're demanding caviar, they're demanding they wipe the scuffs off their shoes, like she wipes the scuffs off their shoes.
Yeah, it goes from 0 to 100 right away. This definitely should have been in, like, episode 3 or 4, but it was too good, so they had to front load it, obviously.
Of course,
yeah. But I think we should get some caviar and some lemonade for the last episode. It's not going to go good with my bone broth, but I feel like I have to have a bone broth every time we record these now.
I mean, it's been a through, much like Tommy Blaze, it's the through line of these episodes.
I need the collagen, baby.
Yeah, this guy's over here trying to lose weight or something, intermittent fasting or something.
Yeah, you don't need to eat, everyone.
Let this be a lesson to all the listeners. Just drink bone broth.
Yeah.
Do you make it?
Well, it helps with your joints because it's filled to the brim with collagen, animal collagen.
Oh, the best kind of collagen. Just suck it. Suck the marrow right out of them bones, and then your cheeks are going to be wrinkle-free and greasy for the rest of your life.
Yeah, why am I going through the hassle of, purchasing powder from a stupid company when I could get the bones in for free and then suck out the marrow?
That very much sounded like a why buy the cow when you get the milk for free type of thing.
I don't know how else to get bone broth, actually. I was going to say murder my wife, but I don't want to do that.
No, and that's only one supply. That's a very short-sighted solution, right? You're going to suck those bones dry, and then what? Now you got a dead wife you got to deal with, much like Tommy Blaze. Just kidding, Blaze, man. That was just a joke.
I guess CSI would technically come in, and maybe some cops, and I could murder all of them and take their bones.
Take their bones,
their marrow.
Yeah. Turn them into broth.
So, I mean, it seems like my supply would end, but it might increase.
That's very true. As long as you get the jump on anyone who comes into your home, you're sucking broth for the rest of your life, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's family and, the mailman.
Oh, yeah, of course. They go, oh, we don't...
And then I could sell the excess marrow to other idiots and...
I love that you're over here acting like... Funny. I love that you're acting like you're going to have excess marrow, as if you're not just going to suck all the marrow out of there. Stick that bone in your mouth and suck her dry.
Yeah, but I can't have a job and do this. I'm going to have to supplement my income by sucking marrow.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. That's this gig economy that we live in, my man. Sometimes you got a full-time job, but you got to suck bone on the side. That's just the way it goes in Wyclef Jean's Haiti.
Yeah, well, it's starting to be Joe Biden's Haiti, and I'm sick of it.
Amen to that, brother. I know exactly what you mean. Hey, did you see that cutlery clock that was in the kitchen?
I didn't. Was it cool?
It was very cool. It was on the backsplash behind the stove, and it was like a big round clock, obviously, but all the hands or all the marks on it were cutlery, real cutlery. I thought it was kind of neat.
Okay, so give me the greasy goss. Is it a fork for your hour hand and then knife for the minute?
Or let me be clear. The hands were just regular. They were real people's hands. All the tick marks for the time were all cutleries. So we got a knife for noon. We got a fork for one. We got a spoon for two. Should I keep going?
I don't think you're even telling me exactly what that clock was at this point.
We got a whisk for three.
Nah, helpless.
And a table for two.
The Royal Beverlys. See, we could turn it into a jizz.
Oh, yeah. We were three girls from two different worlds. Now we became the Beverly.
Wait, so they were three girls from two different worlds?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because two of them had families and one of them didn't.
Yeah.
So, obviously, parents and a grandparent, that counts as the same thing. And then other girl just, raw-dogged orphan from the very start. Presumably... I don't know, was born in the back of a car that was speeding off a cliff and killed both her parents, but she survived somehow and was raised by wolves, I guess, until the group home got her?
I would have to think that would be the plausible future that she held.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the most sense. If you think that Mowgli was just, reintroduced back into society, you're bonkers crazy. He definitely was raised by wolves, put in a group home, adopted by Tommy Blaze, and forced to sing songs for the rest of his life.
And then pushed out into the wild when he no longer served his purpose and was eaten right away by an elephant.
Oh, yeah, of course, by an elephant. Yeah, ripped, torn in half by an elephant.
The cruelest animal on the Serengeti.
Oh, absolutely. That's something they don't tell you about elephants, is that, like, yes, they mourn their dead, but they celebrate the death of other things. They pop champagne. They have a great time when they kill anything else. But if one of theirs dies, oh, it's all weeping and funerals and sadness for them. But, yeah, they're monsters.
Yeah. That's what they don't tell you about the Serengeti.
That's what they don't tell you. They say the hippopotamus is the most dangerous animal out there.
No, not even close.
Mm-mm. Elephant will step on your back and tear you in half with its trunk. They don't care. What are you gonna do? Punch them? No way.
No, you can't even reach that high.
Do you think there's a movie where someone tries to punch an elephant, but then it like catches their fist with the front of their trunk like that? Do you think that ever happens?
Yeah, Babar.
Oh yeah, that's
live action Babar.
There's like some Tony Jaa movies with elephants, right? Like The Protector? I bet that happens in The Protector somewhere. I bet an elephant catches a punch in The Protector. Prove me wrong, Tony
Jaa. Rush Hour 2? Serengeti?
Well, you know, he's not going to be back for Rush Hour 3.
I think they're going to do Rush Hour 4.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, we will be there.
Isn't it wild to think that they made 3 Rush Hours and... Basically, the only joke I remember from any of them was when Chris Tucker said, well, he's not going to be back for Rush Hour 3 in the bloopers of Rush Hour 2.
Yeah, that is weird because I always go to the radio joke because it's hilarious.
Oh, you go to the joke where Jackie Chan says the N-word a bunch of times.
No.
That's what you told me off-air?
Well, we'll talk about it off-air for sure.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, I feel so bad for Martin in this episode because he falls off a ladder early on in the episode, lands on his back.
Whoa.
Crash into the floor and like somehow just shatters his ankle. I don't know how it happens, but then Thomas Blaze is like, I don't care. Enjoy the floor, loser, and just leaves him there. It's so cruel.
I wish they would have left it at that. And then Martin's on the floor. For the next following scenes until, like, I don't know, Tommy heals him with, like, a weird dance?
Yeah, prayer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, prayer. Get the Bible out, maybe the kids' Bible. That's all glitz.
I love the reveal at the end of each episode that... Oh, by the way, we get another rule, another princess, Royal Beverly Princess Club, I think is what they call it.
You gotta live by something, and this is their creed.
That's fair. We get another rule, and then they close the book they're reading the rules out of, and it's a bedazzled book that says the Holy Bible on it. Is it actually a Bible, kids?
It's definitely a Bible, kids.
I had one of those when I was a kid.
Yeah, Bible, kids.
I had a copy of the Bible when I was a kid that was like a comic book, but it was like the whole Bible. But it was all like a... It was a big, thick book, but it was like a comic book Bible. I guess that was cool.
Was it illustrated?
Yeah.
Who was in it?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. JC, number one with the bullet.
Number one with a bullet, right through each of his hands. Moses. We got Sodom and Gomorrah. Everyone. Star-Lord.
Sodom?
Groot. They were all there.
What did Sodom do? Did he do Gomorrah and that was the bad thing?
I mean, probably. You know, Sodom, he was just like a cool guy, I think.
Yeah, he was like the devil, but like on the right side. He was just had suave oozing out of his pores.
Yeah, he was swarthy. He had a Mediterranean look to him.
Well, they were all Mediterranean back then.
Hey. The Jewish word counts, and they were all Mediterranean, you know?
Oh, beautiful olive oil skin.
Dark, curly, black hair on their chest and arms. Just swarthy like a pirate.
Yeah, it's grease, but it's good grease.
Oh, it's good grease, baby. That's what they say. That's what ancient Charlie Brown used to say. Good grease.
Ancient Mediterranean Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Mediterranean Mesopotamian, you know? Let's call the whole thing off.
Same.
Same, same.
Do you want to hit us up with the rule, and then we'll circle it back to what their storyline is?
Sure. If we're going to talk about the show, yeah. Rule number two. Don't let pride destroy what God has in store for you.
Interesting. What they do is they shoehorn pride into the fault of why they can't come up with a new song. They just, like, stick it right in there when it's just them not being able to make a song.
Well, it's just them being 10 years old and being tasked to write a hit song in, like, less than a day, which seems like just such a cruel thing to do to them, Thomas. What are you doing?
Well, I think Jamie's supposed to, you know, bear the load of this whole thing, but she comes up with a terrible country song.
Yeah, but she can sing.
Well, she can dance. She can play guitar.
Well, do we have evidence she can dance? We definitely have evidence of the other two things. I don't know if I remember her dancing.
I think she's crumping in the background whenever they do their music videos. But, like, you're so, like, just concentrated on these little girls singing that you don't see the crumping.
Oh, especially if you're Tommy Blaze. I have this note written here. Tommy Blaze, don't scream, "It was hot," when asked how the girls' performance was.
My God. You could say any word in the English dictionary except for hot.
Great would have been fine. Fine would have been great. But hot?
Cool. Awesome, groovy, luxurious,
sexy, sexual. What other words could he have used?
Bumbaclaw.
Bonerific. But not hot. Jeez, hot. Tommy.
Yeah, that stood out to me like a sore thumb. Sore thumb?
Sore thumb.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was hot. Are you freaking kidding me, Tommy Blaze?
So weird.
Do not sexualize these children. And he, like, doubles down and says it was smoking oaken hot.
Oh, it was hot!
Well, man. They could have just gone with the groovy. It was smoking oaken groovy or something. Well, I just want to call everything groovy.
Well, groovy baby, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, there you are.
Here I am.
Oh, who are you? I don't know, but there you are.
Looking at you.
Hey, did you catch the shout out to what will probably end up being a midweek freak treat at some point? Hilton Head Island.
No, what is that, pray tell?
Well, so when Martin's on the couch, he's got a bunged up ankle, and Tommy Blaze is like serving him. Oh, role reversal, am I right? Tommy Blaze loves that stuff. And
there's going to be a lot of those role reversals, I think.
Hang loose, brother. Yeah, for sure.
80 rules.
But, like, so he's watching TV, and then it's like, "We'll be back with more Hilton Head Island." And I thought, that tickles my brain. What is that? So I Googled it, and it is a real place, first of all. Hilton Head Island's like a place, I guess. But it's also a, like, religious soap opera from, like, 2017, starring, probably made for Pureflix, if I had to guess, based on this cast list, because it stars Antonio Sabato Jr. and... Yeah. Fat Scott Aukerman.
Well, Mr. Jr. was on Malibu Dan the Family Man, and they were like, "We can't get enough of this Mediterranean guy.
This swarthy guy." Hey, Fat Scott Aukerman was on Malibu Dan the Family Man.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. As a character. It was hard to see between the lines.
Hard to read between the folds, you know?
Do you think he almost got the role of Arlen?
I mean, he probably almost got the role of Malibu Dan the Family Man.
Well, yeah. Wait. He is Fat Scott Aukerman.
Oh, we're talking about FSC, yeah. Or FSA, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought we were talking about Antonio Sabato Jr.
Oh, well, Antonio could have done Malibu Dan for real. He could have been the butler and Tommy Blaze in this show.
He could have done me for real if he plays the cards right.
He could, really?
Yeah, Tony Blaze's a handsome guy.
I figure he's got too big of a dinger for me.
That's fair, yeah. Well, I mean, right now your name is Double Q, but you want to change your name back to Double P, so just the way it goes.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Why is my name Double Q?
I don't know. That's just a joke in the show that didn't make any sense to me.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Pride.
This show doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Pride.
What?
That's what these children were filled with. Pride.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're too filled with pride. They can't come up with a hit song. I mean, they want to make a song about socks? Get the frick out of here.
Right? How come no one's writing a song about socks? Well, I mean, that is an idea that a 10-year-old would have, I guess. I'm even willing to bet that these kids are 8. I don't even know if they're 10.
Yeah, they're definitely around the 8 mark. And I feel like at 8, I would have loved a song about socks.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure Raffy wrote a song about socks.
Well, nowadays, anyways, socks are cool now. When I was a kid, you just had, like, a piece of crap that came up to your calf, you know?
Yeah, you pull that piece of crap on, and that's that, you know?
Well, this is a piece of crap.
You had your dad's old, dirty old tube socks, and that's what you had to wear to school every day.
Truly, that's all we had when we were kids, is tube socks. Can you even imagine a world?
Man, I can't imagine a world where I didn't buy my socks and underwear from Walmart for most of my life.
Yeah, I'm still living that life. I need to get some new underwear.
Yeah, we need to get an underwear sponsor so we can get you some new underwear, my man.
This is great podcasting.
Did you notice that they tried to shout out Taylor Swift, but I don't think they could get the rights to her name, so they call her Sailor Swift?
No, but great, you know, turn. Oh, yeah. They figured it out.
Oh, yeah. They go, I wanted to write a country song just like Sailor Swift.
That makes sense. I mean, I don't miss a beat when she says that whatsoever.
No, certainly not. I'd love to know more about this. Who Sailor Swift is in their universe? I mean, obviously Sailor Swift is a country singer in their universe. But like, what else? What's their deal? Are they banging around? Are they writing songs about their breakups? What's Sailor Swift's deal? Writing songs about the sea?
So you want to know if they're dating creepy old men?
I want to know if they're dating sea captains exclusively.
Oh my god. Well, they do go from port to port.
Hey, those filthy beggars. Yeah, absolutely. When are we going to do the Austin Powers on this show?
Which idea did you like from the girls the most?
Okay, well, let's give the rundown. So we should do a song about socks. And then we should do a street rap about being from the street. Or, what was the other one?
I think it was about saving the world and not polluting the world.
Yeah, it was a ballad about Earth. And then Jamie's suggestion was a country song that her horse was gone.
Yeah, she got to find her horse and she's got to ride.
Oh, hey, if you want to be a cowgirl, you better be tough.
You got to be tough. I really relate to that storyline since Cowgirl Summer. I feel like I'm a cowgirl.
I feel like since Cowgirl Summer ended, our horses have been gone.
Yeah, and we need to find them and ride.
Oh, yeah. You know, like much like that one singer in the 90s said, where have all the cowboys gone?
I probably became a bunch of libtards.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Classic cowboy move.
Moved to the gosh darn city and became a bunch of book-reading idiots.
Yeah, trading in their horses for Hayabusa.
I would have to probably go with being from the streets because, I mean, they mocked this girl for saying that she wants to write a street song, but their group home did just burn down and they are orphans, so they do know more about being from the streets than I do, certainly.
I would say, I mean, there was certainly like there was a several day period where they were homeless, so
yeah.
I hope we find out before the show ends that they burned the group home down, that it was like, oh, we were just trying to like do a seance and summon Satan and we burned the whole group home down.
Definitely a seance, for sure. They were trying to, you know, call the devil.
Of course, yeah. Call him up, give him a dingle. They're knights in Satan's service, and that's what they're all about.
See if they can trade their souls for their parents to bring them back to life.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, see if they can trade their souls for a music career. And they went, all you gotta do is live with Tommy Blaze. And they went, well, I guess it's worth it.
Or a roof over their head.
Hey, that'd be good, too.
Yeah, that'd be great, too. So, which one's your favorite?
I don't know, man. I thought I had a pretty good line to end it on when I said they traded in their horses for Hayabusas.
I just like drank things. I will not be silent.
You're gonna be.
Yeah. You can hit that switch.